Hi, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show, where we talk about all things Agile related to mob programming and other things. So I am Chris Lucian, and this is Austin Chadwick, and today we're going to talk a little bit about extreme ownership. Austin, what do you feel about extreme ownership is important to somebody trying to start their lean organization?
Yes, so the idea is for not a project manager, not a manager, not a director, or anyone high up in the org chart owns the process. When the rubber meets the road, it's really the team and the team members own the process and the product and the quality and everything. And there's a TED talk on this, and we can provide a link to that in the show notes. But basically, the example he gave where something went wrong with the team and you know you have extreme ownership when it's not someone's going to blame each other or they're going to blame up the chain or someone else, is that they say, we as a team missed this, or I missed this, and everyone on the team is standing up and taking ownership for what either went wrong in the process or the product. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the definition of extreme ownership to me. I guess some things that come to mind is why is it important, or how do you help instill this in a team, I guess, is where my mind starts wandering, you know?
So there are a few things that I think are really important around extreme ownership is, I think the way that it gets developed is, you know, first the team had to have the opportunity to own the process, right? And so there's only so many things that you can affect in any position. One thing I think is to start by assuming that you can change things. And I think this is even a concept farther down the line in psychological safety, is act as if you already have psychological safety and see what happens. And so... Because a lot of times, I've seen actually many people, in fact, just assume that they can't own their process. And they say, oh, this is how it always was. I started a job and I realized that no one was willing to go and talk to our database administrators. And I was like, why can't we talk to them? It's like, well, we just don't do that. And so I don't know, my first or second day, I was very reckless at this job. And I think reckless might be a good way to describe, like, if you feel like you can be reckless in a certain situation, then that's acting like you have psychological safety. If you feel like maybe it's not safe, but you don't know yet. Right.
Sure.
And so I went up and I just started asking questions. And so something that normally would have taken the team 3 to 6 months to get done happened in a few hours. And that was kind of a key moment in my career. I just said, thinking about this a little bit differently.
Right? Yeah.
And so, you know, believing and acting like you can own the process, and then responding with changes to the process when something systematic breaks down. I think those are some key areas. And so I've heard a lot of stories where this has both succeeded and failed, but I think that of the different key components that you have, if you do have a leader practicing servant leadership and team members all practicing extreme ownership, then you have, that is the kind of the core area where your retrospectives really can shine, because that's where you actually have this response of, okay, this thing is not quite right, let's change it, or this thing's going great, let's make more of it. And so those are kind of areas that really stand out to me in this particular piece. And so, you know, don't have fear and act as quickly as you can on changing things that you see are falling apart. And so this might be being the first person to write unit tests in your organization, right? This might be the first person, in my case, was to go and talk to the database admin who people were just like, okay, we have to put in a ticket in the ticketing system and then wait 3 months for them to respond and then wait 3 months for it to get deployed. And so that's kind of my perspective on it. Do you have any other stories maybe about something like that?
Yeah, I mean, being with teams where, you know, being part of an agile transformation, and an inherent part of agile transformation is servant leadership, like we talked about in the last episode. And without knowing the word for a while, I came to know the concept of, hey, this is where the team owns the process, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason why you want this goal, and it's a goal of a lot of these things we're going to talk about, is for basically this extreme kind of ownership is, you know, there's this complacency that kicks in, and I felt it when it's like, someone else owns this, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this is someone else's software development shop. We do it this way. I don't really care why. Yeah. You know, we have to manual test for 2 months, and that's just how it is. And, oh, you know, that's manager XYZ said so. But to help an organization where you want their feedback, you want their input, where you say like, no, you guys own this process. Mm-hmm. If you could do it differently, how would you do it? And then once the ownership is on you, it's natural to care about it more and to want to improve it and want to change it, right? Because then it's like a reflection of you as opposed to some person up the chain, right? Yeah. And so I think it really is something that can kickstart and fan a flame into changes, real feedback from the people in the trenches to make improvements to the product and the process.
And I think a lot of what you just said there relates to the Theory X, Theory Y management styles, right? And so, like, you know, I think everybody should have a goal of having intrinsic motivation on their teams, right?
Right.
And I think a key component of that is, one, allowing people to express that ownership, right?
Yeah.
And encouraging it and setting up an environment that reacts appropriately to that. And so if you are going for a Theory Y style management system, which might, you know, Theory X and Theory Y might end up being future episodes, then I think this is one place that you want to start, is showing what extreme ownership is. And I think another piece of it is that maybe we can talk about later as well, is the concept of expedition behavior and going and embarking on something new, whether or not you maybe have the ability to say that everything is totally safe to go forward, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and so from a practical standpoint, being in the trenches where I've seen people flip from, oh, manager owns it, to we own it, is, you know, if you're in a leadership position or not, just ask a lot of questions about, like, well, if you could do it differently, how would you do it?
Yep.
Kind of what you're saying. What stops us from going and talking to this person or changing this process or doing this or that?
Mm-hmm.
And you could really see, and it takes some time, right? People like, oh, yeah, whatever. People have said that before. Someone came in wanting to change everything and then nothing really changed, you know, and it kind of takes that first change where they see an improvement actually happen. Like, mm-hmm. I think another case you're talking about, right, where... you know, you're able to get feedback from the DBA and get that, you know, knowledge into the code and get the thing up and running. And you can see people skeptical at first, and then once they see it, that they actually were able to change the process, they'll get it going. And actually,
sounds like the diffusion of innovation theory to me.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Not trying to go backwards episodes, but yeah, diffusion of innovation.
Go watch that episode.
Yeah. one thing that kind of tied back to servant leadership, when we were talking about that episode, is to help instill it in the team as well, is if you're not the official leader, or even if you are, try to get in scenarios where you are challenged publicly in front of the team and you're vulnerable in front of the team, right? And so I've heard people say in an organization where we're trying to have extreme ownership, like, sometimes I look for opportunities to challenge the leader, person A, because I want to show the organization, like, look, he doesn't call the shots that we do, and not everything he says is true.
Yeah.
And so, and from the leader's standpoint, to encourage that, and admit when you're wrong, and encourage people to challenge you, and
acknowledge your own fallibility.
Acknowledge
one of the key principles of the psychological safety stuff.
Yes, exactly. Acknowledge your own fallibility, and not step away so much from the team. Oh, I'm a servant leader, so I just let them do everything. You still give your feedback, but you're not the authoritative voice on it. Yeah. I mean, do you have any...
I mean, you know, just going to that, you know, the role of that leader can be anything from removing impediments to contributing technical from time to time to noting things on a systematic view, right?
Right.
Like, it's not that you just sit there and just watch your team go forward and into oblivion, right? It's more about what can you do from your perspective to best guarantee success. They have the information about how to move forward, and so the opposite side of that is, what can you do to get their view to be more comprehensive?
Right. Yes, definitely.
And so I think going from there, there's a few things that I think are really important going forward that would make extreme ownership possibly fall apart, or things that you might run into. And so I think one of the first things that we can cover is the idea of the Satir change model. So maybe we'll come back.
Put that in order for next, right? Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
All right. Have a good one.
Yep. Like and subscribe. Bye.